We're going to continue this brief sermon this morning to continue our series on the songs of his birth. The second one we want to look at is traditionally called Benedictus, which is just Latin meaning blessed or blessed be someone. And remember that the kind of theme of this series is that Luke's account of the birth of Christ is written like a musical. It has the meaning of Jesus' birth expressed in various songs. There's four of them in particular that come up in the first two chapters where something dramatic happens, and then there's a musical number, there's a chorus. Last week we talked about Simeon, and this week we're going to talk about Zechariah. Zechariah is introduced to us at the very beginning of Luke's account, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Nothing out of the ordinary there, a priest and his wife, but what we find out is they were in a distressingly similar situation to how we find Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, and yet they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. If this sounds a little bit like Abraham and Sarah, it's supposed to. This is that little motif playing itself out again in our story. What is interesting to us is that we have a story of two people who, without children, and without reasonable hope of children, find themselves encountering the story of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, and the birth of Jesus in much the same way that Simeon did. So whereas last week we asked the question, what does Jesus mean for a believer, a patiently waiting believer like Simeon? This week we're going to ask it a little differently. What does Jesus mean to a person who is hopeless? And I don't mean to say that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth didn't hope for God to do something someday in the future. But like Abraham and Sarah, in their own personal lives, the time where God was going to do something seemed to have passed. It seemed like maybe God's promise was for other people. They didn't have any children. They didn't have any hope in their own personal life. Even if God was going to do something great in the world for somebody, somewhere, it wasn't for them. What happens then is Zechariah, if you read the story of Luke 1 and 2, is told by an angel that his wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a child. And this child is going to be the one who precedes the Messiah. He's going to be the one who prepares the way of the Lord. And so some wonderful events transpire. I don't want to steal the story from you. You can go read Luke 1 and 2 and get the whole story. But when John is born and named John, the person we know as John the Baptist, who would prepare the way of the Lord, Zechariah proceeds to prophesy at the time of his birth in a lyrical song about what this child means to the world. And he kind of hops back and forth between his own child, John the Baptist, of course not named the Baptist at the time, just John, and Jesus, who is the one that John is foretelling in his own life later on in ministry. So the song emphasizes the hope that his own son represents, John, as well as the hope that John would point to in Jesus. In Luke chapter 1, 68 and 69 then, it says, "Blessed be," and that's where we get Benedictus, the name of this song, "blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." First observation in this prophecy that Zechariah makes is that the arrival of Zechariah's own son, John, and then more significantly, the arrival of Jesus means that God himself is on the move. God has visited and redeemed his people. We could read in other passages, if we were studying Matthew instead of Luke, that this relates to a prophecy from Isaiah where God would come among his people and a child would be known as Emmanuel, God with us. God would be present with his people. And so Jesus for Zechariah, first of all, means God has come. The birth of his own son, John, and of Jesus that comes along with that is a promise that God has actually arrived. In so many ways, hope for us ends up being something distant and far off. But now, at this moment, Zechariah is able to rejoice and say, God has actually arrived. I have a son. Mary is in the process of having a son. And this son and that son mean something. Hope has come alive because God himself has come among his people to our own lives that otherwise seemed hopeless. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us. In that section, several times he uses language that describes God keeping his word. He did what he spoke by the prophets. He did what he promised to our fathers. He kept his covenant, which is another kind of a special, unique kind of promise, an oath that he swore, again, promise language to our father Abraham. All of that ties together to make the second point then, Jesus means promises kept. It's one thing, think about a promise for a minute. Anytime anyone makes a promise, there's a time period between when the promise is made and when the promise is kept. And in that time, the promise has not yet been kept. We believe the person will keep the promise. In that time, it hasn't happened yet. What Zechariah is getting to see is after having trusted God through a lifetime of that not yet, he's getting to see Jesus and his own son, John, and say, God is actually in our time, in front of us, keeping these promises. Trust is a beautiful thing, but when you have trust, you understand the joy of having that trust validated. I trust in God, and in some ways in my life, I've seen that trust validated, but I'm still waiting for the return of my Christ, for the Messiah to come and to make everything right as he says he will, for him to keep the promises he's made to me the way he kept the promises to Abraham and to Zechariah. I'm still waiting, and I'm hoping and looking forward to that joy. But in a different sense, then, Zechariah is getting to experience exactly that joy, the joy of promises kept, the waiting is over, something that was supposed to happen is happening now. And it's hard to, I think, overstate how dramatic that joy must have been for Zechariah. That we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Before the promise is kept, we live in this kind of tension with the unkept promises of God, not lies, okay? I want to make that clear. When I say unkept promises, I don't mean God didn't keep it, like he failed to keep it, but not yet kept promises. We have that on the one side, and then we have the presence of evil in the world on the other side, and we live with that. We trust that God's going to make it right, but while God sometimes seems a little different, what's immediately present to us is evil and obstacles and adversaries. And so while we want to live in hope, we have a tendency to live in fear because the things that make us afraid are a whole lot closer, it seems, than the things that give us hope. What Zechariah is saying now that I see what I have hoped for, I can now live without fear. My trust has been validated. I now can say without fear that the hope is a greater and stronger, more fundamental reality to me than anything I was afraid of. As Christians, it's a little bit of a challenge for us to have that, Because for us, on a lot of days, it seems like the thing we hope in is further away than the thing that we fear. And so fear sometimes seems to win. What Zechariah is giving us is a glimpse into this moment where hope was closer than fear, where hope was more real than anything you could be afraid of. And in that moment, trusting God was validated. We can borrow the strength and the trust and validation of Zechariah, and we too can know that Jesus means fearless life. Because God keeps his words, because there was in fact a man who walked on the earth right here among us, God was as close to us as we ever want him to be. And we can live in a life that appreciates that consummate reality rather than the appearance of fear that drives so many of our choices. And you, child, speaking, I think, of his own son, John, you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. You have this special role, my son, John, you have this role to be the prophet of the greater one. See, Jesus is still the greatest. John is blessed and honored, and Zechariah is blessed and honored to have a son, John, who is blessed and honored to be the one to prepare the way of the Lord. What is it that's being prepared for? The knowledge of salvation, the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus means forgiveness. Here is a man who's lived a long life, and he's been a priest. If Jesus doesn't come and do something about it, forgiveness is just a very vague and empty word. But in Jesus, it becomes a reality. I think it meant something very unique then for Zechariah as a priest, who year after year offered sacrifices to atone for the sins of people. He was well acquainted with the sins of people. To say, yeah, but now Messiah is here, and forgiveness can become a reality instead of this kind of wispy symbol that we pass from year to year in our sacrifices. It can have substance instead of shadow. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the little term there that I want to emphasize before we conclude is the term sunrise. My background's in astronomy, so a lot of our work gets done at night, and I think nighttime is beautiful. I think stars are beautiful. I think the moon is beautiful. I think a moonlit night is beautiful. There's some beauty in the dark. But can you imagine having lived your entire life in the dark, where the brightest light you ever knew was the moon and stars? That's poetically what Zechariah is telling us about his life. Up until now, he's had glimpses of the goodness of God. He's had glimpses of what's great about God, but always, always he has lived mostly in the dark. I think Zechariah was a good guy. I think for a lot of people, he probably was the glimpse of the goodness of God in their dark world. That's quite a burden. He was waiting till one day the sun would rise, and it wouldn't be a glimpse of the goodness of God. It would be God perfectly on display, and his goodness would overwhelm the world. With the birth of Jesus, Zechariah says, that's the sunrise. That's the sun coming up. And this isn't just wistful poetry for Zechariah. He's alluding, I suspect, to a prophet from days gone by. Some of the concluding words of our Old Testament, in fact, from Malachi chapter 4. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Notice, Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, not Son of God, Son, S-U-N, the sun, the light in the sky, the sun's coming up, the dawn is coming. For you who trust in God, that trust is not misplaced. The day is coming when day is coming. The sun will rise, the light will shine, and you will go out instead of into, you know, in darkness. You don't run around and jump in darkness, right? You kind of walk timidly because you're going to stub your toe on something. you shall go out like calves from the stall. You're going to go and jump and bound and skip and hop because God is doing something good right in front of your eyes, and it changes everything. That's what Jesus means to Zechariah. It's sunrise. It's everything else is changed too. You see the difference? It's not just that Jesus is a good thing. It's that everything is now shown in the light of goodness because of Jesus. C.S. Lewis had this great quote that gets used quite a lot for good reason. I don't just believe in God, you know, because of some fact that can be proven. That's one thing. But he said, no, I believe in God like I believe in the sun. Not just that I can see it, but that I can see everything else by it. The birth of Jesus not only gave life to all that's entailed in Jesus, but even the birth of Zechariah's own son now had significance and meaning above. He wasn't just another child born in a dark world. This was a child born to prepare the way for sunrise. And that's a beautiful hope. We're going to listen for just a moment to the song Benedictus from the old Gregorian chant. And again, like previous hymn that I showed last week, it's not super catchy. You're not going to hum it on the way home. But it's a glimpse into Christian history of people hearing the words of Zechariah and their hopefulness and tenderness and trying to repeat that in worshipful music. And I thought it would be worthwhile, in lieu of ending with a prayer this morning, to do that today.
Benedictus Dominus Deus Israel, quia visitavit et fecit redemptionem plebis suae.
Et erexit cornus salutis nobis, in domo rege pueris sui.
Sicut locutus espero sanctorum, quia saeculos sunt prophetarum eius.
Salutem ex inimicis nostris, et in mano omnium qui oderunt nos.
Ad facienda misericordiam cum patribus nostris, et memorari testamenti sui sancti.
Ius iurandum quod iuravit ad Abraham patrem nostrum, naturum se nobis.
Ut sine timore de mano inimicorum nostrorum liberati, serviamus illi.
In sanctitate et justitia coram ipso, omnibus diebus nostris.
Et tu, puer propheta altissimi, vocaveri, praeibis enim ante faciem Domini parare vias eius.
Ad andam scientiam salutis plebi eius, in remissionem peccatorum eorum.
Per vis sera misericordiae Dei nostri, in quibus visitavit nos oriens ex alto,
illuminare isque in tenebris et in umbra mortis erent, ad dirigendos veres nostros in viam patiens.